Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is the fourth quarter, brought to you by DraftKings. The football season is just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. So download DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN, that's code KSN, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Week's Track and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Dusty, as we finish quarter number three, you were on an absolute roll talking about Jesse Lucada. You lost track of time. We complained about James Franklin's clock management. Apparently, we have the same issue here with you. But you had momentum, and I want to pick up from where you left off, and then I'm going to let you keep going with it. That play was so impressive to me because you're right. I don't believe in any way, shape, or form he had coverage responsibilities, but he read the play and what was going on, so he used his head first of all, but then the athleticism to get to the ball, make the catch, that was not the athleticism of a defensive end. That was a very athletic linebacker making that play. So I think he's found his home at defensive end, but that's where that athleticism comes into play.
And the beauty of it is, Jim, I think in those situations where he was one-on-one with a shifty running back in the open field, or where he was tasked with covering a running back coming out, or a one-on-one with a tight end as a linebacker, I don't think those were all necessarily in his wheelhouse. And that's not to say that Jesse Lucada is not an unbelievable athlete, because he is. But what he has now is he can rush the passer off the edge. But what you get from him is now when he drops into coverage, it's unexpected and it's a bonus and it is a sneaky wrinkle in Brent Pry's plans. I don't think this was really it, but you have a whole world of possibilities when Jesse Lucada is lining up at defensive end, just as I think you have a world of possibilities when you line him up at linebacker and what he can do as a pass rusher. So, you know, I was buying James Franklin's moving Jesse Lucada to a hybrid role. I thought that served the team very, very well. From what we've seen from Jesse Lucada, I thought that it might serve him very, very well in terms of what he'll be able to do at the next level. But it's worked out, you know, again, through 2 weeks. You hate to get too far ahead of yourself right now. But it's worked out very, very well. It looks very promising for now, and it looks very promising to get a lot of things on film for Jesse Lucada to get his opportunity at the next level. Because based off what happened last year, I don't think that was a given for him. Now I think he's played himself into that.
He definitely has. All right, let's hit a couple more quick things with the game last week before we start talking about next week's game, Dusty. The kicking game, if you watch this game on TV, you realize that Jake Pinniger had quite the game kicking extra points and field goals, didn't he?
Yeah, that was speaking of amateur hour, you know, that was one of those things. And I'm confused. I'm checking rosters. I'm like, what are we talking about here? But I think just you're on FS1 and sometimes, you know, what I will say is I was, other than Mark Helfrich, speaking a little low sometimes, I thought he was very, very good.
I think he was good. The audio, I think they had too much field mic and not enough from the booth. So somebody should have turned up his mic and turned down the field mic a little bit. And, of course, for those of you
their production?
Yes.
Their production was screaming for Jim Galante to come in there and clean that up.
Well, I they did ask Dusty. I was unavailable. Committed to the Keystone Kickoff Show. And
committed to Labatt Blue Light.
Exactly. I am contractually obligated to stick with Keystone Kickoff. my contract does not allow me to freelance like that. So, perhaps another year I'll have to redo my contract.
With yourself. Yeah.
They have that guy. He's such a tough negotiator that I deal with, Dusty. He puts me in under an ironclad contract. Let's talk about a few other elements of this game, which one of the things which has been nice the first couple games is the starting lineup has been the starting lineup. You know it's Joey Porter and Tariq Castro Field. But in this game, they did mix in a lot of the new players, and that was kind of nice to see, wasn't it?
It wasn't just that last wave either. I think, especially defensively, you saw them go, it's 14-0. I think it's pretty early in the second quarter. You start to see your Keziah Izzard at defensive tackle. You're starting to see Fatorma Mulba at defensive tackle. Smith Dilbert looked outstanding in these little glimpses late in the game too. Tyler Rudolph got his chance for the first time ever. Because it looked to me like maybe they were just really being protective with Jaquan Brisker. He was out there, but clearly something's still just not quite right with him. And if it's a game where you don't need him, because, his personality is not really one to dial it back at all. So you either unleash Jaquan Brisker or you hold him back. That's what it felt like in this game. And so with him being managed like that, presumably with Keaton Ellis being out, Tyler Rudolph, and I thought Tyler Rudolph looked pretty good out there. And this was before garbage time. Some of these guys who got a chance to play, the game was not over by any means.
Well, it would not be a college football game, though, without a targeting call and a targeting issue.
Yeah, seriously.
Tyler Rudolph, here's my one question on the play. He did not have that great technique. He did lower his head. He didn't wrap. Which, if you do that, you're probably not going to be called. But my question, Dusty, is when he's lowering his head, well, guess what? The offensive player is lowering his head, too. So when you end up with that collision, can you really call targeting on the defensive player when that's going on? Or should you?
So both of them had bad form here. And the defensive player is the only one who was punished for it. That's where he's going. Now, his face should be up. He should be looking at his target. He should be wrapping up, just like Ellis Brooks last week. And they said on the broadcast that Brent Pry had no issue with the Ellis Brooks one. He thought that was the right call, and that's fair. I thought they absolutely could have called it too. And this one, he did. It was the crown of his helmet. It was bad technique. But do you really ever foresee the offensive player getting that low and leading with his helmet too? So it was like, bad form gave way to bad form, and only one player got punished for that. So it's just a tough situation. I think just in a broad sense, like Penn State's targeting calls, like I don't think you can really argue too much against them, because by the letter of the law, that's what it is. But college football, I know I'm not saying anything that's profound here, has a real problem with the severity of the targeting and the punishment being the same for all of them, right? Like there are some really egregious targeting penalties. I think what they need to do is look at it and kind of like, let's say running into the kicker versus roughing the kicker, where you have a 5-yard variety and you got a 15-yard variety. The 5-yard variety doesn't get you booted. The 15-yard variety does. I think there needs to be another shade of gray or two with the punishment that's doled out, because Tyler Rudolph wasn't trying to kill that kid. He just went in there with some sloppy form.
It's obvious the penalty doesn't fit the crime. And what's interesting, you mentioned the Ellis Brooks one from a week ago in James Franklin's press conference. And James is so, he says things so nicely, but eventually he said, and even demonstrated if you saw the video, well, Ellis Brooks, he actually led with his shoulder. And if you lead with your shoulder, the head follows. So if I were officiating, it could go either way. But I wouldn't have called it, which I thought told you exactly where James Franklin stood on that. All right, we've got a couple minutes left, Dustin. Next weekend, it's Auburn, it's Whiteout, it's game day. And I said last weekend was fun in State College. This coming week is just going to be bonkers. You know that. What are your thoughts? Auburn has beaten up two subpar teams, put up a lot of points. I don't think they've been tested yet. I'm not sure how you call this game, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. Tell us your preview and a bold prediction.
So game day coming, this is exactly why you make Auburn the whiteout game. You get a chance now in front of a national audience, night game, whiteout. I mean, ESPN is just a sucker for the whiteout. So any reasonable opportunity to send their crew there, they're sending them there. Kirk Herbstreit is on the record a billion times talking about the whiteout. So they're going to be there. It's going to be an unbelievable day on campus. This Auburn team, you know, I think they blew out two bad teams. They haven't played on the road yet. I think the fact that they've blown out two bad teams at home almost plays into Penn State's favor a little bit. The 1-2 punch they have at running back is mildly concerning. Jarquez Hunter, he's a true freshman, not an overly hyped recruit coming out. Tank Bigsby was, I think, a top 50 player a couple years ago. So they got Bigsby's a bigger guy. Hunter's a little smaller, slash and dash type guy. These linemen on the defensive side and these linebackers need to mind their P's and Q's and not allow any creases or cushion, because these are the type of guys who look like maybe one cut and go. So I think Penn State's run defense really needs to come to play. They've done it so far 2 weeks, but I think Hunter and Bigsby present a problem that even Wisconsin couldn't really match. So I think this run defense needs to step up to the plate and not allow big plays in that way. I think they're going to be able to sell out and force Bo Nix to try to beat them down the field and trust your cornerbacks and trust your safeties to play it tight. So I think that formula, if they execute that formula, if they're as clean with their execution as they have been to this point, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape. I do think home field advantage against the new coaching staff on the road for the first time, you know, a quarterback who I think is rattleable. I don't think that's a word, but I think I'm going to make it a word. Bo Nix is rattleable. Let's force some mistakes there. I think they're going to get the job done. I'm going to say 31-21 Penn State in this one. I think they're going to make a couple plays in the running game. They're going to get a couple chunk plays that Wisconsin and Ball State weren't capable of doing. But in the end, you execute in front of your home crowd. You have that advantage. I think Penn State rides that. They score some points. They win the game. They're 3-0 after 3 weeks.
That's your prediction. You have them covering. It's a 6-point spread. Couple seconds left. It's time for a bold prediction.
Oh, bold prediction. Well, let's see. I think three or more takeaways on defense again.
Ooh, that's a good one. And you know what? I think that's going to be a big part of this game. Again, if Sean Clifford stays clean with no turnovers, no interceptions, no fumbles, I think that's will be the difference maker. That is it for this edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
The football season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off Week 2, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.